reviews, commentary, not just another podcast.
Are the Ordinary Pickleball Podcast.
Wait, what? We should make up some fake names.
Why?
Just in case we have to communicate while we're inside.
Oh, okay.
I want to be Kyle. I knew this guy at camp. His name was Kyle. He was maybe 13. He got two girls pregnant, man. Two girls pregnant. Yeah, Kyle. Who are you going to be?
Steve.
Steve. Yeah. Okay, Steve.
Okay, Kyle.
Wait. Wait, I want to change. I want to be Steve.
I'm Steve. You're Carl.
Kyle!
I don't care. I just want to go in there and do this.
Now here comes your host, Kyle Abaron of the World Steve.
Welcome to the Big Ball Broadcast, episode 101. All the geeky news you can use, pop culture, entertainment, gizmos, gadgets, and endless babble. We are part of thegeekmedia.com, and in a bold experiment, the recording of this episode marks the very first time we're streaming live via stickcam.com. So you'll want to bookmark stickcam.com/bigballbroadcast and check back to see when we'll be announcing our next live stream. Typically, it's done on Friday nights, probably at least a couple times a month, but again, also check our Twitter page for updates at twitter.com/bbbroadcast. We'll let you know the next time we're going to be live streaming on StickCam. We are your hosts for the festivities. My name is Kyle Abaire. I'm an LA-based video game and anime voice actor.
And your co-host on the East Coast, Otherworld Steve. I'm a musician and up-and-coming author.
Now, we want to give some quick shout-outs to some other geek-tastic podcasts that you can Google here. Show Me Your News, which Cyberlink here in the chat room is the one who actually we had to give credit to for suggesting StickCam in the first place. This Week in Geek, ASO Radio, R5 Central, Voice Print with Trevor Duvall and guest. We plugged some other shows as well, and sorry if I left you guys out. Not meaning to, I just didn't have a list compiled at the moment. That's just ones I had at the top of mind. But remember, if you have a podcast, we'd be more than happy to promote it. We do a promo swap sort of deal thing. So if you want us to play your promo, you have to agree to play our promo on your podcast. That way we can share listeners and build our audience and have all that fun stuff. I also want to give a quick shout out to Andy with the StickCam team. He put us on the front page, gave us some great exposure, and bumped us up on some bigger servers just in case to handle the extra traffic. So thank you very much, Andy. And here is a sneak peek of what we're going to be talking about tonight on this episode of the Big Ball Broadcast. Watchmen. Yep, it's you see it, you can't escape it. It's all over the friggin' place. It's finally out in over 3,600 theaters. It's the widest release ever for an R-rated film. What are the fans and critics saying? Who did the Dark Knight director Chris Nolan nab to star in his new sci-fi action flick? Sam Jackson in as Nick Fury for a very long time. We'll tell you how long. Beatles Rock Band is coming out this year. We got a release date and a price. Tons of free anime has been added to YouTube and Juiced. We're going to give you an updated list. And, well, hopefully, if we don't get too sidetracked anyway, we're going to talk about the anime industry. Is it doomed? We linked an article on our Twitter page from the Japanese perspective. People in the industry over there, even animation students. People who actually work in the industry and how bad things are over there. And we'll talk about broadcast television, how the internet is really impacting both of these industries, and does it require some sort of government bailout like the financial institutions and banks and whatnot. So right now, let's just crack open the inbox at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com.
You've got mail.
This first one comes from our regular listener, Dark Angel, who is now actually a published author. I want to plug his book here real quick. It's called How Not to Commit Harikiri, A Guide to Surviving Anime Conventions. Now, he spent 16 months compiling all the inside scoop about the whole inside phenomenon on anime conventions from all perspectives, from dealers, from artists, to cosplayers, to people in the industry, such as myself. I contributed a little in there. You can get it for $15, and the link is xenophoenix.blogspot.com. But don't worry, we're going to stick that URL in the show notes. So, Steve, Dark Angel has a question for you. He says, could you elaborate a little about what Diamond is and how it affects anime, comics, etc.? What changes have been made recently and how it's affecting manga and anime-related products?
Diamond is a distributor that distributes manga as well as comic books and collectibles to retail stores all across the U.S. And again, what Diamond did is they increased their minimum purchase order up $1,000 from what it normally was. Every time we made an order, I believe it was $1,500 before. Now you have to make a $2,500 order in order to get these things into your shop. So how has it changed? Yeah, if you go over to like Anime News Network, they report pretty much every day about manga that are either being pushed back or canceled in its entirety. So it's a pretty major backlash for what Diamond had to do, but you know, Diamond's gonna do it in order to survive too. So it's weird. It's a conundrum.
Yeah, we kind of talked about on previous episodes how Diamond kind of upped their minimum orders, so Ma and Pa little comic shops are really struggling, if not completely. Yeah. So anyway, it's really tough on comic shops to get that minimum order made because they're going to be stuck with all this product on their shelves, and who's going to buy it? I mean, they only have like maybe, what if they're in a small town? They only have like 50 people buy comics a week, and yet they're sitting there with shelf loads of tons of comics or anime and manga, and then it just sits there, and then they have to close their doors. They can't pay for it. They're stuck with this inventory. And then on a larger scale, you've got people like Best Buy who are cutting way back on their anime collections because things just aren't selling. So you're not going to be able to walk in to a Best Buy and get something that is obscure anymore. Their selection is going to be downgraded to like the top 20 titles, and that's it. So if you want DBZ or something, you'll be fine. But if you want something really obscure, maybe from an old Genion or ADV title, you're kind of screwed. So that's kind of the downside to that one. Dark Angel also asks a question here to both of us. We got to chime in here. He says, the other day I was watching President Obama address a joint session of Congress. Wait, don't fall asleep. This is a very good tech question here. Now, during the address, a good number of the congressmen were Twittering, of all things. Now, there's no doubt the social thunderstorm has been hitting websites like MySpace and Facebook, but when it gets to the point where our elected officials are tweeting like a bunch of high schoolers in fourth period, should we consider this a warning sign, or is this just a sign of some sort of technical revolution exploding? Thoughts, guys? Steve, take it away.
I believe it's a total technical revolution. You have a young president in office with his BlackBerry, officially the first president in office with a game console. You know, he and his kids have a Wii. So I think it's a big step in showing American society how hip and cool he is. As for Congress and Twitter, I think it's a great idea. I think if a lot of the youth vote, pretty much the people who put Obama in office, have access to their Congress people and they can communicate that way, I think it might really open a lot of congressional eyes to some of the plight us middle class dudes go through on a day to day.
There's this something I was hearing about, like some government official taking a tour in Iraq, and he was Twittering like as he was stopping on the way. That becomes like a security issue at some point, doesn't it? I mean, you get all these apps for Twitter that can start amplifying its usage and all that. Next thing you know, you're syncing GPS to your Twitter. And let us explain real quick, if you're going, what the hell is Twitter? Twitter.com is a site that we use as well here on the podcast to link to geeky news stuff. But basically, it's a microblogging site. It gives you 140 characters to type what you're doing. That's the whole concept of Twitter, to give a status update, like I'm at the dentist, or I went to the comic shop and found this awesome Watchmen collectible, or whatever. So different people are using it for different ways. You can chat back and forth on Twitter. You can have a private message or you can make it public. You can use it to link or to put random quotes or to use all sort of different updates. So I don't know. I would think that Congress would have something better to do besides pull out their BlackBerries and iPhones and G1s and start Twittering from the floor when they're supposed to be paying attention to leading our country. You know, little things.
You sound like that's their first and foremost in a day-to-day to begin with.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's very, very true. Now maybe they are just sitting there snoozing. I don't know if you've ever watched a filibuster or anything on C-SPAN. Those guys look like they're just about to, like, man.
I wholeheartedly concur.
Okay, then. Let's move on to quick hits. We've got some little tidbits of geeky news that we don't really have much to say about. So here we go. Dark Knight director Chris Nolan's next film is unfortunately not a sequel to The Dark Knight. We have mentioned this before. It's actually a sci-fi action piece called Inception. And Leo DiCaprio, that's right, Leo, has been tapped to star.
The Dark Knight has officially broken $1 billion. I know this is old news, but you know, we have to officially announce it here on the BBB. go to BoxOfficeMojo.com, the critically acclaimed Caped Crusader sequel, which didn't win many Academy Awards, totaled in at a total of $1.001 billion after its second run theatrically in IMAX. $533.1 million of that billion-plus sum was grossed in U.S. theaters, while $468 million was raked in overseas. And Warner Brothers also was announcing that their 2D IMAX release was the biggest of all time, with $64.9 million grossed worldwide.
Pretty awesome.
French dance duo Daft Punk have been signed on to score Tron 2, which pretty much means, regardless of how the movie turns out, it'll have a good beat.
We're going to get onto some more Watchmen news in a bit, but the Watchmen Midnight Show last night earned $4.6 million. It played in more than 1,595 midnight runs across the country, and today, or tonight, the film is officially opening to a total of 3,611 theaters, the widest theater count ever for an R-rated film.
Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, including The Watchmen, so keep it here on the Big Ball Broadcast. We'll be right back.
Bella Faye Films is gearing up for production of its feature film, Magnum Farce, and is proud to announce the participation of Perimeter of the Void, who will be a featured contributor to the movie soundtrack, and EBE Records, who will produce and e-distribute the motion picture soundtrack. Other musician contributors include Weird Beant composer Gerdenark and Rex Hobart's Spaghetti Western Orchestra. Based on the competition-winning screenplay, Magnum Farce is a spoof of Dirty Harry films. Magnum Farce, the full-length movie, will showcase the voices from the short version, currently headed to a film fest near you. Matt Goedeker stars as Detective Dick Hardon. Kyle Hebert as Blivet the Sniper, Will Keenan as Detective Gay, and the cast is rounded out by Rachel Mulrick, Dan Warren, Shirley Hughes, and Richard Herlin. Magnum Farce is a not-for-kids spoof for fans of Naked Gun, Scary Movie, Blazing Saddles, and of course, Dirty Harry films. Visit the official Magnum Farce MySpace page at myspace.com/detectivedick.
Order, order, I say! We'll never get anywhere if you all keep talking out of turn!
But, sir, all we want to know is where to go to hear our favorite animation voice actors talk about their careers!
Yeah, that's right! And for them to give us budding voice performers advice on how to get into the business.
Darn right, Mr. Meyer! We all just love them cartoons so god darn much! We all go to conventions and listen to them voice actors talk! We can't wait to hear them talk about working in the business!
All right, all right! You all know that VoicePrint with Trevor Duvall and guests is the place to go to hear some of animation's hottest voice actors talk about the business. If they were a voice in it, they'll discuss it. Anime, prelay, video games, any and all voice work they do is up for discussion.
This VoicePrint with Trevor Duvall and guests, how do we download it, huh?
Ah, that's the easy part. Just go to www.trevordeval.com. You'll find all the latest episodes there.
Liven! What if we want to subscribe to it?
VoicePrint with Trevor Duvall and guests is located on iTunes and Podcast Alley. It's really very simple, people. It's like he's bringing the convention to your iPod. Look, don't make me come down there and use this gavel.
VoicePrint with Trevor Duvall and guests, an internet talk show starring some of animation's biggest voice actors. Go to www.trevordeval.com or subscribe on iTunes or Podcast Alley.
EBE Records is proud to announce the debut release from recording artist Perimeter of the Void, titled Dust. The album is now available on compact disc and DRM-free digital download. Order the CD online and receive the download for free, clocking in at over 60 minutes. Dust features 14 original tracks and 3 radio edits. Preview select cuts at myspace.com/Perimeter of the Void. Order Perimeter of the Void, Dust. Available now at eberecords.com.
You hear him on anime and video games, and he could be coming to your town. Here's a list of appearances to meet Kyle Hebert in person. And trust me, it's no big deal. February 6th through 8th, IckyCon in Austin, Texas. March 27th through 29th, Anime Land Wasabi in Denver. Anime Detour, April 3rd through 5th at St. Paul, Minnesota. Louisi Anime at Baton Rouge, Louisiana, May 8th through 10th. Animazement, Durham, North Carolina, May 22nd through 24th. ACON in Dallas, Texas, May 29th through 31st. And Anime Next, June 12th through 14th in Somerset, New Jersey. Keep in mind, more conventions will be listed. And for the latest updates, make sure and go to KyleAbear.com. Go see Kyle at one of these conventions and give him all your money, because he's broke. Ah, just kidding. Yeah, not really.
Yo, Steve Bloom here, and you're listening to the Big Bald Broadcast.
This is episode 101 of the Big Bald Broadcast. Now we're going to talk about Watchmen because, hell, everyone else is. Why not us, right? It's got 63% fresh rating on RottenTomatoes.com, which means overall the reviews are mixed at best. Gritty and visually striking, Watchmen is a faithful adaptation of Alan Moore's graphic novel, but its complex narrative structure may make it difficult for it to appeal to viewers not already familiar with the source material. That is the consensus. That is a quote from RottenTomatoes.com. Now, Will Wheaton and Roger Ebert love it. Gizmodo.com, one of our geeky news sources, loves it. I was scouring Twitter, and tons of people from there are pretty much split. USA Today only gave it 2 stars. They say it starts off with a bang and kind of becomes dull and dreary and way too long. That is like another consensus. A lot of people are talking about it's way too long. Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News says, for the first time in my 22 to 23 year relationship with the characters and universe of Watchmen, there's something entirely new to dissect, talk about, argue about, get enraged over, get drunk over, fight over, and to effing love. Armand White, film critic for the New York Press, states, Snyder seeks to express his personal geeky taste for sex and violence. Storytelling itself is not his strength. This film noir-like mystery feels remote, like half-hearted retelling of an overly familiar joke. As Hollywood sinks lower into juvenilia, it dulls our sense of drama. Some quick hits from Facebook. Mike Bass from Dallas says, enjoyed it very much. What's right is very right, and what's wrong is little more than fanboy quibbles. Michael Brady says, I have to agree with Michael. It'll take me a second time. Plus, the movie does work for outsiders in its streamlined fashion. One of our good buddies, Zelen, Mr. Mark Swint, chimed in with his review. Let me see if I can get through a lot of this here. The geek world has Watchmen fever, and for good reason. If you haven't read Alan Moore's graphic novel, my only question is how much is rent for the rock you've been living under? To try and explain The Watchmen is like trying to explain why water is wet. It's best to read the novel before viewing. Or maybe it's just best to read the novel and walk away. Lack of character development aside, the soundtrack, in a simple word, sucks. It's supposed to be period-specific, but I don't think they were focusing on the sound or feeling the music actually generated, just how the lyrics related to what was going on. There's a flashback point where the comedian is shooting people with tear gas canisters, and a disco song is playing just because he's the antagonist of the scene and the word boogeyman is in the lyrics. It's jarring, it's annoying, it's laugh-inducing, and overall, inappropriate most of the time. There are some page-perfect translations, but again, if you didn't read the novel, you wouldn't care. The visuals were great and should appeal to everyone. The method of the ending has changed, but overall point remains the same, and if you haven't read the novel, again, you won't care. Overall, I think that everyone should see The Watchmen, if only once, and know that it's good and it could have been worse. If you're not a comic book fan, you'll love it. For everyone else, just remember X3.
I think the worst part about Watchmen for the casual viewer is if you go and you enjoy the film, that's it. There's not going to be a sequel. It's not going to happen. So you got to kind of go in and take it for what it is and be happy with what you got, because that's it.
I read The Watchmen once, I think in 86, 87. So it's been a while. What can I say? We're going to poll the chat room here on Stickham. How many people have seen, besides Zelen, how many people saw the Watchmen? Duh. I may call it early screening. Of course, by the time everyone hears this, it's already out in theaters. Cyberlink says, gratuitous blue appendages. Very nice. Shalton in the chat room says, what is Watchmen? That's funny. I can't decide if that's sarcastic or if it's a legitimate question. So, yeah, apparently the giant blue junk is distracting in the movie. I guess I heard, like, Will Wheaton talk about, he was having a conversation and someone talked about Dr. Manhattan's junk. And he says, you know, that'd make a good name for a band. And I totally agree. Dr. Manhattan's junk. they could open up for Fallout Boy or something.
Talk about another film coming out to the big screen this year, Dragon Ball Evolution. Well, Dragon Ball film actor Justin Chatwin, who plays Son Goku, told Sci-Fi Now, Image Publishing's Britain science fiction, fantasy, and horror magazine, that his live-action project already has a script written for a second film. And Chatwin added that the sequel is greenlit. The second one goes more into the whole Dragon Ball legacy and the genealogy of Dragon Ball. It goes more in-depth into a real Dragon Ball series, the kind of intergalactic world of Dragon Ball. And, apparently, Jimmy Chung has revealed in a recent statement that all of the actors have signed up for two sequels to the first movie. And that piece of crap, I mean, that film will open on March 13th in Japan and April 8th in the U.S.
I still say this movie's going to suck balls. It's going to suck Dragon Balls. It's just going to be bad. Now, I would love to be proven wrong. I really do want to be proven wrong. But, you know, given the trailers thus far and... just wrong on so many levels. But then again, you know, it's probably no worse than the new Street Fighter Chun-Li movie, which I hear everyone is universally panning. But is that really much of a shock? It kind of makes the original one with Van Damme and Raul Julia look like a masterpiece of cinema, which I'm actually kind of curious to see. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I have absolutely zero interest in my direction.
Nate the Great One in our chat room says, I'm just waiting for Transformers. And I couldn't agree more, because I think Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, those trailers look amazing. Now, of course, we could be proven wrong again there, too, because trailers give you the best of everything. But, oh, boy. Oh, and Aethelwolf1972 says, I actually enjoyed The Legend of Chun-Li, but I went to see a cheesy martial arts action flick and was not disappointed.
Yes, I am also looking forward to the Wolverine movie, as people in our chat are talking about. Even though Deadpool looks lame as hell.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen footage of what they've apparently done with that character, and was I reading that they're making him a mute or something at some point in the movie? The whole point of Deadpool is he's got a mouth. He's the Merc with a friggin' mouth. They're gonna just change everything about him. Maybe this will be worse than X3. I don't know. If people don't care about Deadpool, they may not be as invested in it as I am. But, I don't know. I'm signed up on a website called DeadpoolBugle.com, and people have shown some screenshots from the movie, and I could have sworn I saw the thing about the mute.
Maybe it was all just a dream. Some potential good news for fans of Samuel Jackson out there. Apparently, Samuel L. Jackson has buried the hatchet with Marvel Entertainment, making a deal to play the role as Nick Fury in Iron Man 2 and potentially many other films. Jackson's deal is a long-term commitment to play Fury, the leader of the espionage unit S.H.I.E.L.D. His deal contains an option to play the character in 9 future Marvel superhero films, efforts that are expected to include the first Avenger Captain America, Thor, the Avengers, and possibly a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie and potential sequels.
You know, the one thing missing from that article is how much he's gotten, how much money, because he was saying, oh, I don't know, I'm probably not going to be Nick Fury. They're just arguing about money back and forth. Says, I guess at this point anyway, they don't have Mickey Rourke signed on anymore, and they didn't have the other actress lined up for Black Widow, I guess. If I know who I'm talking about, Black Widow. Anyway. We had mentioned Emily Blunt, I think, was in the running to have that role, but then Jon Favreau said, no, it's not Emily Blunt, it's got to be somebody else. So, crazy go nuts.
And on that note, that's all I have.
All right. I have to give Captain Warheart a few props. He's holding up his great Saiyaman action figure right now on the webcam on Stickam. Very nice. Lofa Productions is playing Budokai PSP, showing off some of that. Oh, we're getting some free entertainment on the room. Thank you, guys. Since we don't have video content while we're streaming this recording of the show, you guys can provide webcam content. How easy is that? We'll just make the listeners show stuff in front of their webcam. Yay! We like that. Terrible, terrible. All right. Let's talk about the Beatles. Beatles Rock Band is coming out September 9th.
and it ain't cheap at all. The included instrument controllers are modeled after those used by the Fab Four. The game will be released for 360, PS3, and Wii. The game by itself, $60, of course. If you want the standalone guitars, that'll set you back $100. And the limited edition premium bundle is $250. Costs for those outside the U.S. have not been announced, nor the track listing, but apparently there will be some pre-order incentive exclusive content coming very shortly. So, does this cry sell out for a legendary band like the Beatles or Metallica or Aerosmith, for that matter, who have their own rock band games this year? Or is this actually smart business? If you ask me, I think it's smart business. If you go back even 4 or 5 years, people would say, oh, yeah, you're selling out if you do a commercial or if you give a song to a video game or something. But now, because you've got Guitar Hero and Rock Band out there, this is a new way to reach a whole new audience that's never heard of you. How many 12-year-olds really know who the Beatles are? So, honestly, this is awesome. I think it's an awesome business model, actually. It's a great way to get bands out there. And you're just creating a whole new generation of fans for these groups.
Yeah, I think it's pretty badass marketing, especially nowadays with CD sales pretty much non-existent and piracy being rampant. Probably the only legitimate way for bands to get their music out there, and especially to a new generation. I know that's what Paul McCartney keeps saying about the Beatles. It's a way to introduce their music to this whole new game-playing generation. So I have to definitely give them props for that.
Golden Panther 587 in our chat room says, I wish I had the money to get Rock Band. Sorry, but to me, that's too high. And I totally agree. I think Rock Band as it is now, I think at $150, $180, I think that's ludicrous. Now, I'm like a solo gamer. I tend to play with people on Xbox Live from the comfort and privacy of my own home. But I think Rock Band and Guitar Hero, that stuff are great party games. If you're going to be hanging out and you socialize a lot, you have a lot of people over, of course, it's great. But, you know, my suggestion, compromise. Maybe have your best friends who come over and game with you kind of chip in to the cost of the game or something, because these things aren't cheap.
Yeah, I've got my hands full just with the standard games for the PS3 and the 360, so. And I'm waiting for you, Kyle, to start gloating about your somewhat victory the other night when Final Fantasy and Street Fighter 4 on the 360.
Okay, so far we've had 2-hour-plus long brawls between Steve and myself on Xbox Live playing Street Fighter 4. Now, people who know me know I like to play as my own character, so I tend to mostly stick with Ryu. I kind of am starting to get familiar with his moves and can remember. I'm totally screwed if I start playing anyone else. But I think the ratio was pretty good. I think I lost, I don't know, was it like a 60-40 split on overall on the first match? And then at one point during our second round, a couple nights later, we were actually half and half, and that was a really good feeling. At one point, actually, we got a little further. I had like 75% of the wins, and that felt really good. But then again, I go back to playing arcade mode, and I'm trying to just unlock Cammy. I want to unlock Cammy, damn it. So I got to play a Sea Viper. I set it on one round. I set it on easiest. I get up to Chun-Li, you know, that's the rival. And man, Chun-Li is a biatch. Oh, I was ready to throw my controller through the TV. I was so mad. I spent like half an hour just playing match after match after match with Chun-Li. And then the next night I went back and I was able to beat her. It took, you know, maybe 10 minutes solid of trying to get this woman to go down. And then comes Seth. You fight Seth, who looks like Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen, and he's even worse. He's teleporting left and right, bam, 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 and just sucking you into that black hole in his stomach. And, I'm just going to have to, like, break down and ask someone to send me a memory card with all the characters unlocked for my birthday or something.
I have Seth. I actually beat you with Seth. Once, at least, anyway.
There's a lot of those characters that I have been completely just demolished with, and I'm just gonna have to break home that manual and read some more moves. But it gets confusing. My problem is I pause the match on Sea Viper and I look at some of her moves, and I'm sorry guys if I'm totally noob at this, but some of those moves look really hard to remember, okay? They just mentally look tough. Now, I've chanced upon a couple of her moves, and they kept me alive, and I tried your method, Steve, of just, like, doing the high kicks and everything. That worked up to a point, but then you get to the point where you're fighting, like, Chun-Li, for example, and she just does the whole spinning kick thing with them big turkey thighs of hers and just cuts you in half. Ah!
It's all good. One of these days. But we'll definitely get that gaming going on the 360 again. And I need to figure out what I'm wiring wrong so I can capture it onto my computer so I can post those videos up on YouTube for the entire world to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to pay. I'll pay a little closer attention maybe at trying to not die as fast. I don't know. I mean, now, back to the the topic at hand, I guess. We got off on Street Fighter. But that's the beauty of this. I love that you guys are here in the chat room on StickCam. This is awesome. The whole thing about Beatles Rock Band. Again, I'm not going to pick it up because, A, it's too expensive, even though I love the Beatles. B, I don't see myself playing it enough to warrant that expense. And C, A and B. So... Rock Band will probably not be in my... I mean, so far, AC/DC. I love AC/DC. I love Aerosmith. I love Metallica. I love these bands already. Now, if I go to someone's house and play them, sure, that sounds fun. I'll do it, but I'm not going to be adding them to my collection.
Yeah, as I said, me neither. I'm pretty content with what I have, and I'm a completist. When I have a game, I'll play it, you know, for a few months just to do everything and unlock all the achievements and blah, blah, blah. So I like the trickle in of games. I don't really need any huge, monstrous peripherals, although I am considering an arcade stick for the 360, so we'll see if that comes to fruition.
Yeah, Zelen in the chat room said, don't worry, I'm going to send you an arcade stick. It's like, you know, I need that. At first I heard that as far as the fighting games go, that the 360 controller is really bad. It's not conducive to pull off the combo moves, and I'm learning that the hard way, but I don't want to drop that kind of money. You know, you got to... $80 controller that's good maybe for one game, and nobody else can say, well, it's not going to work on any other game. Maybe, I don't know. I certainly don't want to drop $150 or whatever for that mega limited and sold out, by the way, Street Fighter arcade stick. I don't know. I can't do that. Just not going there.
I can. I think I definitely can because it's going to be some other really good head-to-head fighters coming out. I think, you know, Street Fighter and games in that genre are kind of reinvigorating that entire franchise, so there's going to be some good head-to-head coming up for a long time, so I think it's worth the investment. The 360 controller is horrific playing these arcade-style fighting games, much more responsive with the PS3, but because so many people play it on the 360, including yourself, A-Bear, I kind of have no choice, so I think I definitely need an arcade stick.
Momohinamori25 in our chat room says, better things to spend your money on, Kyle, like paying rent, huh? Yeah, I totally agree. even though I still buy a bunch of crap I don't need. Whoa, well, that's just me.
Screw you. Screw you all.
All right, then. Moving on, is broadcast television doomed? The New York Times says the average TV drama costs $3 million an hour. Now, for decades, the business model was to spend that kind of ludicrous money left and right to create shows aimed at mainstream audiences and advertisers and have some shelf life for syndicated repeats. When Hollywood had a strike a few years ago, we saw the birth and afterbirth, of the reality show, which are super cheap to make and garner big ratings. But the fans want their Lost and 24 and so on. So, and with DVRs and the internet, the game has significantly changed. Ratings across the board for all the networks have declined. For example, Disney's broadcast profits went down 60% despite the success of Hannah Montana. Networks end up having to charge less to run commercials, so they stick on more of those cheaply made reality shows. And, for example, Jay Leno, not that he's a reality show, but a talk show that's much cheaper to do in his new time slot, that's going to save NBC millions of dollars as opposed to them developing some new primetime drama that'll... replace ER or whatever. Now, the big ratings winners like American Idol, they can get like $700,000 for a 30-second spot. But most of the other shows on TV and even cable, they're hurting. They can't get away charging that sort of premium. So, I mean, we've seen financial institutions, the automotive industry get a financial bailout from the government, Is network TV far behind?
They'll ask for it, for sure. I think that's a given. The porn industry has asked for a bailout, so, you know, I guess nowadays, even the BBB could ask for a federal bailout. I don't know how that would go over. Network, broadcast television, there are so many free alternatives, like the internet, and YouTube, and Hulu, and things of the like. So, and even the networks have a lot of the shows on there. There's a lot of original content. And we talk about downloadable content on the PS3 and the 360 all the time, too, so you're going to see that big paradigm shift coming down the pike, and maybe a lot sooner than anybody really anticipated.
Daikun in our chat room said, TV is finished thanks to bad network management. Momo Hinamori 25 said, there's just bad shows on TV. There's really nothing on. Evil XM says, anyone can make their own content now and post it on the internet. Cyberlink 420 says, people are taking entertainment into their own hands.
That's, you know, kind of what we did with the Perimeter of the Void and the music industry, which is going through a very similar situation. You can do your own thing nowadays, and it really doesn't take a lot of money to do it. So we're able to do that independently, release it independently, distribute it online independently. So, again, you're going to see that, I'm sure, happening with network and cable television. And who knows, maybe Hollywood won't be too far behind from there.
That's very, very true. And another industry that's feeling the hurt right now, the big recession, people losing jobs, people aren't spending advertising money, they're not consuming as much. Another big industry that's already been hurting anyway before we had the recession is the anime industry. And are they doomed as well? Well, this article online from the Japan Times talks about some interesting situations here. I'm going to quote from the article. After graduating from Tokyo Animator College, Yuko Matsui began working at a mid-scale animation production agency. 2 years later, she earns roughly $800 a month, averaging 10 hours a day doing the grunt work of filling out in-between cells. Those are drawings on transparent sheets used between key scenes to help create the illusion of motion. Although she lives with her parents, she can't save any money and has given up on paying her national pension fees. Still, the 22-year-old apprentice considers herself better off than some of her peers, who say they have to endure frequent all-nighters with few days off. Quote, there were seven others I knew who graduated with me at the same time, but three of them have already given up and quit, unquote. Like the networks, advertising rates have to shrink, thus shrinking budgets for animated shows, and the only thing increasing is the stress level. Yasuo Yamaguchi, executive director of the Association of Japanese Animations, thinks we're going to see a huge decrease in broadcast anime and that different revenue streams will have to be put into place. Then you've got more late-night adult fare, and not necessarily porn, but, you know, more violent and profanity and all that, which is rather limiting in terms of reaching an audience for marketing and merchandising. Yoshihiko Noda, an ad agency director, says the demographics of anime fans have shifted. They've grown up and they want more adult content. And that adult content tends to be produced more for DVD sales with short 13-episode runs. They try to bait fans with exclusive content and special features. Now, this lack of mainstream acceptability in anime content, combined with expensive title licenses and the exploding popularity of video sharing sites, has helped erode the industry's distribution market in the West. Industry people are directly citing fan subs, aka illegal downloads, as the greatest obstacle. It's having a huge impact on sales. To counter the trend, TV Tokyo tied up with popular San Francisco-based animation sharing site Crunchyroll in January, offering some of TV Tokyo's popular titles in advertisement-free, high-quality format with subtitles for a monthly fee of $6.95. Yukio Kawasaki, manager of TV Tokyo's animation business department, pleads that, quote, animation isn't free. It's the product of hard work and a lot of money, and we cannot continue producing quality content without the financial help from fans, unquote, explaining that if the strategy succeeds, they could expand by selling DVDs and comic books on the site like Amazon.com and establish a valid business model. Kawasaki says they have signed up more than 10,000 fee-paying members and hope to reach 50,000 by the end of this year. Now, that's an impressive start, considering you're talking to a fan base that is used to downloading stuff for free. So I'm wondering if Crunchyroll's business model is going to work per se, as opposed to the YouTube model where you've got companies like Funimation posting episodes for free. You know, not an entire series run, but you get like maybe 3 or 4 episodes and you probably get ads embedded in there and all that. I'm wondering if that's not going to work a little better because you've got an audience that either feels entitled to it for free or just spoiled by having things, download at the drop of a hat.
Oh, yeah, we're very much a very on-demand society. We talk about that all the time with our cell phones, and hopefully one day we'll get streaming TV here in the U.S. to our cell phones. The industry, as we discuss all the time, the anime industry is very niche. It's very clicky, so I'm kind of surprised it survived this long into the recession, although, as we talked about earlier, with the cases like Best Buy, it's definitely feeling the pinch nowadays, and broadcast-wise, yeah, it's not bringing in the revenue. Cartoon Network kind of, you know, mocks anime all the time, and at first I thought it was in a very joking manner, but I'm realizing, no, it's not necessarily the cash cow, and seriously, anime fans just don't have money, you know, so who knows how much longer that's going to be around. Thank God video games will be around for a while, so you'll still get some voice work, and I'll still stay entertained.
Yeah, hopefully through, you know, the education and things coming out of the media, industry people speaking out, that that people are starting to learn the impacts of all this as animation fans and are spending their hard-earned dollars and saving their money. And then on the other hand, you got the industry kind of caving in, too, and understanding that, you know, yeah, box sets sell better because they're cheaper, you know. If you want to stick on an ad-supported show for free, high quality, HD even, on demand, you're going to reach an audience faster. You're also going to save money on production cost. You know, you don't have to come up with money for, you know, printing. You don't have to kill some trees to print all the inserts. You don't have to burn a bunch of DVDs. You don't have to spend money on cases. You don't have to ship and distribute those. You've got something, boink, up on a server, and everyone else downloads it. I mean, this is truly a revolutionary time, which have tremendously positive aspects and, you know, phenomenally negative aspects as well. It's just literally turning every sort of industry, you know, upside down. They're like a turtle on its back almost. They've really got to rethink how things are done.
Oh, exactly. And you're going to see a lot more pay-for-downloadable content, I think, especially with the Apple App Store and the Google's App Store, which has, you know, totally officially launched now, and it's kicking ass. It's cutting into Apple's marketplace. And I haven't paid for any apps yet, but it's just really refreshing to see tons and tons and tons of new apps available for the G1. So I'm really jazzed about that. But yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more pay-for-downloadable content coming in the future from all the industries that are suffering right now.
I mean, it's the only way to really survive. There's no other way around it. I'm finding myself switching thought patterns about wanting to have something on my shelf. You know, not entirely. I mean, I still love collecting Blu-rays and movies, things that I really want, because I don't think we're at the point where you can download a movie fast enough for me to be satisfied. We're just too ADD like that. But, you know, another fine example is like the Watchmen game, The End Is Nigh. It's downloadable now on PS3 and Xbox. It's $20. It's like 1,600 Microsoft points or whatever. So I downloaded it, and I was going to get it whether it sucked or not, because I did some voices on it. I did some thugs on it. So I got it, and everyone warned me. It's like, wow, this game is bad. And it is, unfortunately. The Watchmen game, The End Is Nigh, do not get it. It sucks. It's terrible. It's a brawler, but it is so repetitive and so dull. But I'm glad that it wasn't $60. I didn't waste $60 on a game that was sitting there physically in a case on a shelf somewhere. I was able to download it in maybe 5-10 minutes tops. And I think that is a new model that even the gaming industry should consider, especially in this recession. You want to get content out there. Make it online or make it, you know, through hubs like Xbox Live and the PSN network.
We talked about that exact thing last podcast, getting rid of the whole retail, you know, marketplace, especially with stores like Circuit City going out of business. You don't need them. You don't need the big retailers anymore. If you get the console in your house, just charge to download games. No packaging, no discs, no nothing. So I'm all for it. I mean, yeah, it sucks if something happens and your system blows up. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to implement some kind of strategic way for you to be able to re-download that content because you already purchased it, blah, blah, blah. But other than that little snag, I think it's, well, I know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
Cyberlink 420 says, with more games going download only, meaning no rentals and no refunds, it's getting harder and harder to save money. Well, you got companies like Gamefly and Netflix and all that that actually does save a lot of money. And there's quick turnaround. People were on the chat room were asking how fast is Netflix. You can get something that you want within 2 days. And I think Gamefly.com, it works the same way. Where you rent a game, you probably have, you know, pay whatever, $10 a month or something like that. You keep a game, no late fees. You can try it out. At least you're not dropping $60 on something. And, you know, it's better on everyone's wallet in the end.
And, you know, we can't say it enough, given the current state of the economy, better on the wallet is a good thing. If they can release some games that look as pretty as the Watchmen game, but definitely more playable, at that price point, I think you'd really see that market take off.
You've apparently also, speaking of Watchmen, have a downloadable MMO, a little online multiplayer game, for 99 cents on the iPhone App Store. Now, they had a lot of internet connectivity problems today, apparently, as we're recording this show. But it just launched along with the launch of the movie in theaters. But it sounds like they're moving things to a cool thing where you're playing characters. You create your own character in the Watchmen universe, walking through New York City, and you're able to not only go on missions, but you can interact with other iPhone users who are also playing the game. And at least in concept, it sounds really, really good. Now, I did mention at the beginning of the show that we're talking about, you know, anime and the whole industry and how you're going to save money. Well, there's some free streaming anime that just got added to an already impressive amount of shows that are already on Joost.com, J-O-O-S-T, as well as YouTube. You can now watch episodes streaming for free of Aquarion, Black Blood Brothers, Blue Gender, Galaxy Railways, Mr. Stain on Junk Alley, Ghost Hunt, Juosei, Kitty Grade, Moon Phase, Origin, Peach Girl, Rumbling Hearts, School Rumble, Shuffle, Slayer's Next, and X-Holic. And the American animated series Avatar, which of course owes a lot of its influence to anime. Season 1, episodes 1 through 20 have also been added on there. You can get Naruto Shippuden and Bleach have some new episodes via Viz. Another cool thing about Joost is you're able to watch it through Wi-Fi only, but still, I could watch anime through Joost, through my Joost app on the iPhone. Now, if we can just cycle through the legalities of getting streaming stuff beyond a Wi-Fi connection, then yeah, we can be out, you know, away from home, at the workplace, walking to school or at a Starbucks or wherever, and to get this sort of entertainment on demand. And we're going to get there slowly. There's already TV.com has started streaming some CBS shows. And, you know, we're going to see a lot more as 2009 continues. So good times for all, especially for anime fans who just don't have the money to buy this sort of stuff.
I'm wondering how long before some of the big cons shut down.
Well, there's so many startup cons that are splintered off from staffs of already established ones. And they're learning the hard way that you need cold, hard cash to run these things. It's not just manpower. You obviously need the support of a lot of volunteers who work for free and everything to work a convention, but you need lots of cash. You need a lot of money to secure places and security and pay for the convention space, all that stuff, even advertising. It all costs money, and I've seen some things come and go as far as conventions go. I've been to conventions 1 year, and then they're not there the next just because they were just blindsided. Money to begin with. You know, what makes them think they're going to drop $30-$40 on a weekend ticket to a convention? You know, as they're all piling into hotel rooms, you know, 10 people to a room for the weekend, forgetting to bathe and stepping or trampling all over each other and wearing the same cosplay all weekend long. And then, you know, they spend all their money just to get there from out of state or on a long road trip. And then suddenly they go in the dealer's room and they've got $5 left to their name going, well, I can afford some Pocky and yay, that's it.
Exactly. Pocky, a couple of rum and cokes. It's all good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. That looks like we're fresh out of content, folks. So I want to thank everybody for coming to our very first live streaming podcast. Make sure and check on our podcast page and our Twitter page, twitter.com/BBBroadcast and bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. And I'll of course, go on my MySpace blog and LiveJournal and all that. Let everyone know when we'll be on StickCam again, because other than the lag, I think the experiment worked. We've got a lot of people in here. And since we have enough people that I can just name them by name, I'm just going to do that. So thank you to Aethel Wolf 1972, AG Acting Girl, Anime Fan 1990, Captain Warheart, Captain Shiro, Cyberlink 420, Daikun, Evil XM, Golden Panther, Grady Bryson, Kerberfer, Lofa Productions, Megami 33, Momo Hinamori 25, Nate the Great One, Paula Canny, Samimus, Shikachiri, that anime guy, The Mauler, and Zelen. All you guys are awesome. Steve is awesome for burping. Thanks to Lofa Productions for showing off the can of Orange Crush. I don't get it, but okay. And whoever was playing Dragon Ball Z Budokai on PSP, thanks for giving us the visual representation of something on this show. Now we're getting a thumbs up from Lofa Productions. I guess that means he needs a ride or a hitchhiker.
Thank you all for joining in on our first live lag episode. We're going to work out the glitches after this episode. Hopefully next one will go a lot smoother, but thank you all. Pretty cool, and I look forward to doing this again.
So until next time, this is Kyle Hebert.
And this is Otherworld Steve.
See ya!
Catch up on all our past episodes at www.bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. You can also subscribe for free via iTunes to have new episodes downloaded automatically. Send your MP3 comments and emails to thebigbaldbroadcast@gmail.com. Get daily updates and links to all the geeky stories you hear, plus lots more at twitter.com/bbbroadcast. Donations graciously appreciated and accepted via PayPal on our blog page. Transmission complete.